Praise the Lord. I love gathering together with God's people to be reminded that we are on the winning team by God's grace. My name is Kenneth Bruce, and I'm the student pastor here at Westwood, and I am so thankful for Pastor Matt being very kind to share his teaching time with me, to allow me the opportunity to be with you this morning. He's very gracious to do that. It was 1 a.m., I was in my bedroom by myself on my knees with an open Bible. I was 18 years old. I had been broken. I was humbled by circumstance. I was lost, and I was looking for hope. I examined 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." At that moment, I knew I didn't know God. So I cried out to Jesus and surrendered my life to him, and he saved me. I was saved by reading the Bible. That's my story. God saved me through the reading of his word. See, this is no ordinary book that you have in your lap right now. This is the self-revelation of the God of the universe who speaks through ink on paper that is bound together in a book. And it is through this book that literally billions of people have come to know and love and follow Jesus, all because of what is inside of this book. And it is an honor for us to have this book. And God stands ready to speak to us every day through the study of Scripture. And what we're going to discover today is that 2,000 years ago, a group of people studied the Scriptures and they were radically changed forever. The one big truth I want you to grab this morning is this: daily study the Scriptures with passion and believe. Turn with me to Acts 17. Acts 17. The book of Acts is volume 2 of a 2-volume set that goes with the Gospel of Luke. Both the Gospel of Luke and Acts were addressed to a man named Theophilus. Leading up to this point, Christ has died, Christ was buried, Christ was raised on the third day. He appears to hundreds of people over the course of 40 days, proving his resurrection. Then he gathers his disciples up on a mountain. And he tells his disciples to go out to the world and to tell the world about who Christ is and what he has done. He says in Acts 1:8, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." You see, the book of Acts is the recording of how the early church was started and how God used people to advance the gospel throughout the world. We see God, the Holy Spirit, raising up leaders who will preach the gospel, plant churches, and are catalysts to a movement that continues to this day. We see specifically the Apostle Paul, whose name used to be Saul, as a man who hated Christians. He made it his mission in life to destroy the church. Jesus appears to him in Acts chapter 9, totally transforms his heart and life, and calls him to go and tell the world about Christ. Leading up to Acts 17, Paul is now on his second missionary journey. He is going throughout what is modern-day Turkey and Greece, preaching the gospel and planting churches. You see, when Paul shows up, usually two things happen. There's either a revival, or a riot. In Thessalonica, in Acts 17, both happened. In verses 2 through 4, we see a revival breakout where people believe the gospel, but then we also see in verses 5 through 9, a riot breakout. You see, when Paul preached, he preached with clarity. You knew where you stood before God after hearing him preach the gospel, because you would either hear him preach and you would get right and believe the gospel, or you would get mad and try and kill him. That's the theme you see throughout his life in the book of Acts. You see, your response to the truth is a reflection of your heart. Your actions prove what's already going on in here. So in order to protect Paul and this new church plant in Thessalonica, they send him and Silas 50 miles away from Thessalonica to a town called Berea. And in Acts 17, beginning of verse 10, it says this. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitating and stirring up the crowds. Then the brothers immediately sent Paul off on his way to the sea, but Silas and Timothy remained there. Those who conducted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him as soon as possible, they departed. You see, you notice that when Paul goes to Berea, he begins his ministry in the Jewish synagogue, which was his custom. Paul would always begin his ministry in a synagogue in Acts 13, in Antioch. He went first to the synagogue. In Acts 14, in Iconium, Paul went first to the synagogue. In Acts 17, in Thessalonica, Berea, and Athens, Paul went first to the synagogue. In Acts 18, we see him go to Corinth. He goes to the synagogue first. In Acts 19, in Ephesus, he goes to the synagogue first. See, Paul had a burning passion to reach Jews for Christ. This was his heartbeat. We see this sprinkled throughout the book of Romans, in which he writes in chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation for all who believe, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile." He says in Romans 9, verses 2 and 3, "I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh." He goes on to say in Romans 10:1, "It is my heart's desire and prayer to God for them that they may be saved." And so as Paul came into Berea, he went first to the synagogue. But something happened in Berea that has not happened anywhere else. Luke tells us that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why is that? What made the Berean Jews more noble than the others? They daily studied the scriptures with passion and believed. This morning, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I want to put some tools in your tool belt so that you might be one who can become a daily, passionate student of the Word of God. I've been asking the Spirit to make this morning a time that He might compel you to become a lifelong, self-feeding student of the Word of God. Five truths from this text I want you to grab hold of this morning. The first one is this: be open to the Word. Be open to the Word. Look at verse 11. It says, "They received the Word." The Bereans received the word. That word receive, it communicates the desire to learn or to accept. It's to understand with your ear. It's an open-mindedness that the Bereans had to the word that Paul was teaching. You see, Paul was well-trained in the scriptures. As a Pharisee, he had a thorough understanding of the Old Testament. He knew how to handle the scriptures to point people to Christ. And so as he is preaching the gospel to the Bereans, they were open. They were receptive. They were teachable. The Bereans were just like the fourth type of soil that Jesus describes in Luke 8. It's a heart that receives the seed of the word and it bears fruit. You see, there was a hunger in their hearts for the word. And Paul was preaching it with clarity. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, he says, "Preach the word." And that is exactly what he is doing here in Berea. He is preaching the word in the synagogue. And they are receiving it. Luke uses this word receive 13 times in his gospel account. For example, in Luke 9:53, Jesus sends his disciples into town, into a town in Samaria, to make preparations for him, but the town did not receive him. It's the same word in which there is a openness, a receptivity to Christ. Question: if Jesus came to your home, would you receive him? Well, he already has through his word. When you receive the word of Christ, you are receiving Christ himself. You see, the scriptures testify and point you and I to Jesus. The question is, are we open to the word? But I also want you to see, number two, that we are to be passionate about the word. Passionate. Look at verse 11. They received the word with all eagerness. Okay? In the original Greek, it's the word pos. It's the word great. Then there's another word for eagerness. It's a word means zeal. In our culture, it's the word passion. There was a great passion that the Bereans had for the Word of God. They were eager to open the Old Testament scriptures to verify what Paul was saying. They craved the Word. One of the more encouraging and convicting videos I have seen recently was taken by a missionary in China who passed out Bibles to those in China who had never seen, had ever received their own Bible in their own language for the first time. I'd like for you guys to see what this looks like. Check this out. You see passion. You see hunger for the Word of God. I recently saw another video in which a tribe in Southeast Asia received the Bible for the very first time, and you see grown men weeping out loud with joy because they have for the very first time the Word of God in their hands. For many of us in this room, we have many Bibles sitting on our shelves that go untouched. 19th century British preacher Charles Spurgeon challenged his church when he told them, "There is dust enough on some of your Bibles to write damnation with your fingers." You see, the Bereans studied the scripture with passion. Westwood, let us be a church that is passionate about the Word of God. If you are lacking in your zeal for the Word, pray. Ask for the Spirit to stir within you, to fan into flame a passion for His Word, to memorize it, to meditate on it, to pray the Word. May we feast more on God's Word than any holiday meal. You may say, "Kenneth, I really can't memorize Scripture. I'm not that smart. I really can't." Yes, you can. It's hard work. It's hard work. Can you say that? Say, "It's hard work." Hard work. It's hard work, y'all. It's not easy. But it takes discipline and diligence to stay at it. And when you're passionate about the Word, you will do whatever it takes. For me, it's writing it on note cards and putting it on my mirror. It is laminating it and putting it on my pocket or in my briefcase so I can take it with me wherever I go. So I try to memorize this. Within Go groups, that's part of the discipline of maturing us as we memorize the Word of God. May your passion for your team, for your family, for your job pale in comparison to your passion for the Word. Number three, be a student of the Word. Be a student of the Word. Look at verse 11. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures. The word examining carries a judicial meaning. It means an investigation. It means to search after. It's like a judge who is examining a witness. A student is one who sits under the word and allows the word to be his teacher. You examine the word. You study the word. It's not just the fact that you read your Bible. It's you study it. You have an intense examination of what God has said. You look through it as with a fine-tooth comb. You mine the word as if Proverbs 2, you are digging for treasure. You see, this is a mark for us as believers. 2 Timothy 1:5, I love how the King James writes this. They write, study to show yourself approved by God as a workman that is unashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Speaking of Ezra in the Old Testament, it says, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and teach his statutes and rules in Israel. Galatians 3:24 tells us that the law of God is our schoolmaster. It is our tutor to lead us to Christ. You see, there is a direct relationship between your walk with Christ and your intake of the Word. John Calvin simply said it like this: faith is increased by reading the Scriptures. In the history of the church, y'all, men and women who were greatly used by God, they knew the Word. And they spent significant time studying, memorizing, and meditating on the Word. At Westwood, may we be known as people of the book. May we be like the man in Psalm 1. Blessed is he. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, and in its season produces much fruit, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. You see, the goal of every Christian is to become a self-feeder on the Word of God, which means that you grow in your love and knowledge of the Word. You're not dependent upon your small group leader to feed you. Your growth is not dependent upon what you hear from the pulpit on Sunday mornings. Your discipleship is not founded on whatever preacher you have on a podcast. It means that you personally dig into the Word for yourself to grab hold of the truths within the text. You see, a self-feeding Christian is a student who matures beyond milk and craves solid food so he can feed himself and feed others as well. Which means the excuse for church hopping because you didn't get fed, that excuse goes away. Because your nourishment of your soul is not found upon what someone else is giving to you. It's for what you discover yourself through God's revelation, through His Word. You see, may there be nourishment for your soul that's not dependent upon a preacher, but upon your feasting on the Word of God. Number four, I want you to see this, that we are to also be consistent in the Word. In verse 11, they received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily. The Bereans were daily examining the scriptures to verify what Paul was teaching them. They were confirming to see if what he was saying was accurate. Did it align with the Old Testament writings? There was a consistency to their study. You see, daily Bible study is essential to abiding in Christ, resting in the gospel, trusting God, and growing more in love with Jesus. You see, just as your body needs daily nourishment from food, your soul needs daily nourishment from the Word. You need to be reminded daily of God's promises, His commands which are not burdensome, His unfailing love, His passion for His glory, His pursuit of sinners, His exaltation among the nations, and His sovereignty over all things. God knows how quickly we forget Him. Days after seeing the Red Sea part and walking through on dry land, the Israelites forgot God, and they began to complain. Our hearts are just like theirs. We so easily forget what God has done. And your heart and my heart is prone to wander from the Lord. You need God's word to correct you, to encourage you, to rebuke you, to point you to Jesus. We must daily come to God's powerful word. I love how the Bible describes itself. James 1 says that the word is a mirror. Hebrews 4 says that the word is a sword. The Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus says that the word is like a seed being cast out. Jeremiah 24, he says that the word is like a fire in his bones. David says in Psalm 119 that the word is a lamp to his feet and a light to his path. Deuteronomy 8, Moses says that the word is like bread. It's something that we eat and we nourish ourselves on the contents of what is inside. Listen to the words of David in Psalm 19. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warmed. In keeping them, there is great reward." The word is pure, right, sure, clean, sweet, perfect. All characteristics of God Himself. The word is reflecting the nature and the character and the essence of God. And we see here in the text that God is one who reveals Himself. This book breathes. It is living, it is active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword because it cuts through the facade, it cuts through the fake, it sees through the intentions of the heart, and it gets down deep inside your soul. You see, the Holy Spirit uses the word to humble the proud and give grace to the humble. The Bible is God's inspired, inerrant, infallible, perfect word of God. You can trust every word inside of it. There is no mixture of error, and it is completely trustworthy because God is trustworthy. Either it's all true or none of it's true. You can't pick and place what you like and what you don't like. And we see throughout this text that God has made Himself clear. He has revealed Himself in such a way that you and I can daily meet with Him. We meet with Him through the study of the Word. Please know, you cannot be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ without regular intake of the Word. Jesus said so Himself in John 8:31. "If you continue in my Word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So daily study the Scriptures with passion. Number 5, believe the gospel in the Word. Verse 12, "Many of them therefore believed." As the Bereans studied the Bible, they actually believed what the word was saying. They found that the message that Paul and Silas were speaking actually aligned with the Old Testament writings. Indeed, Jesus of Nazareth is the promised Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the Christ that the entire Old Testament was pointing us to. Luke tells us this in Luke 24, verse 27, in which he says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to the disciples all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." Jesus goes on to say in verse 44, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Jesus is telling his disciples that the Old Testament is pointing to him. He says in John 5:39, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is they that bear witness about me." Believe the gospel. Trust in Christ. You are to surrender your life to Jesus, who the scripture is pointing you to. You see, the Bible is God's perfect revelation of how he desires a relationship with us. That plan was messed up by us in Genesis chapter 3. But God pursues us in the gospel. God sends his son so that when we read the scriptures, we find Christ. We find the one who came and bled and died so that those who turn from their sin and trust in him will be saved. The Bible is pointing you to Jesus. Many of the Bereans believed the gospel that the word was pointing them to. And it's through the Bible pointing us to Jesus that we find eternal life in him. Paul says it this way in Romans 10:17, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." For some of you in this room, you may not know God, and you may not know the scriptures. This morning, he is inviting you to himself. Turn away from your sin and yourself, and turn to Christ. He stands ready to receive you if you will believe and trust in him. For some of us in this room, our intake of the word of God into our lives has not been consistent, and it hasn't been passionate. It's been sort of a one verse here and there. May this morning be a game changer in your life because you decide to become a self-feeder on the word of God. You embrace the word of Christ, and then he begins to grow you and to mature you to make you look more like him. This book is powerful, and it's a weapon that God used 14 years ago to humble a very prideful teenager. And it's a weapon that God used to humble, to save, and transform an 18-year-old who desperately needed Jesus. And he's still using this word today. He's using it in the lives of men and women and boys and girls worldwide, drawing people to himself so that those who trust in him find eternal life. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever. So Westwood, beginning today, let's daily study the scriptures with passion.